Welcome to the 100 Yard Dash Football Podcast presented by the Chiefs Focus Network. Where you talks about the NFL from end zone to end zone and all 100 yards in between. Without further ado, here's you.
Yo. What it do? This is the 100 Yard Dash Football Podcast, where I'm talking about the NFL from end zone to end zone and all 100. You heard me. 100 yards in between. My name is you.
You. Detective, you.
Not you. You.
Who?
You.
Who?
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth.
I'm your host. What it do? You can find this podcast again. I don't know if you've heard it before, but if this is your first time watching or listening to the 100 Yard Dash, I had my own, I'm under the Chiefs Focus umbrella. This season, we're doing it a little bit different. Instead of going to search for 100 Yard Dash, what you should go search for is Chiefs Focus First and 10. And my episodes will be loaded onto the Chiefs Focus umbrella of podcasts. So, always like, subscribe on YouTube. If you see me out on them TikTok, Facebook Reels, whatever it is, YouTube Reels, Facebook, whatever they call it, you know, hit the like button, whatever it happens to be. I do this thing once a week, normally on Wednesdays. Again, sometimes I do it earlier, sometimes I do it later. This one is later. Almost wasn't going to do it at all, but I made these graphics and it'd be a shame for me to just let them go to waste. So I decided I'm just going to go ahead and get an episode done. It might not be an hour this time, but normally episodes are about an hour. Like I said, I do this once a week, normally Wednesdays, sometimes earlier, sometimes later. If you set up notifications, you can know when I'm on. You can join me, interact with me. StreamYard stream, the Chiefs Focus Twitch stream as well, Chiefs Focus YouTube page, as well as my own YouTube page. Like, subscribe, all that as well. So, let's get into it. So, the rundown of the show. Like I always do, news, recap, and close. But the thing about it here is, ain't much news going on right now. Not that I want to do, to let you all in on. So, we going to keep it moving. So here's a concept of week three for me, the recap. I think we tend to let the hype of the early season carry us away a little bit. And I'm a victim of that. One thing I realized looking at all the games in week three and all the games leading up to it is that we aren't sure who's good yet. I mean, you got a handful of teams that you figure are going to be good, but those are the perennial playoff teams. The Chiefs, and even they had a little, the Eagles. There's a couple others that are escaping my memory right now. But aside from those handful of teams, we don't know who is doing what. I think teams are still trying to find their identity. And teams like the Chiefs, and even teams like the Chiefs, they have an identity. They're trying to find it. Everybody have their place. So they're trying to figure out their space. Tampa Bay, they know what's going to happen there, but they're still trying to figure out how they're going to make it happen and if they're still legit. The Vikings, maybe a little bit of an identity crisis. They were so good to start off last season, and this year they're not as good. The Bengals, another one. They have an identity. They know what their identity is, but their identity is kind of hurt right now. So they got to work their way around it. There's always going to be workarounds in the NFL. So week three, week three is just one of those situations. And so we don't really know who's who or what's what right now. So I just think it's super interesting that that's even the case. Give me 1 second. All right, I'm back. Yeah. All right, let's get on in there. This is going to be one of those, it's not going to be a quick show, but it's going to be a little bit more fast-paced than you're used to me going. So last Thursday, the Giants and San Francisco had a meeting, and the Giants did not come out as victors. The Giants scored 13. The 49ers scored 30. Now, the Giants 1-2, 49ers are 3-0. Brock Purdy is what he is. You know, he is a good quarterback. Anybody who's thinking it's the year one thing, it's not. It's not. Brock Purdy is good. And then you pair him with Kyle Shanahan, he's good. Now, I've heard that the 49ers fan base is ready for Super Bowl, another Super Bowl. I get it completely, but I know the 49ers announced that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have a new multi-year contract extension per Ian Rappaport. So you might be frustrated the 49er faithful might be frustrated with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, but they ain't going nowhere no time soon. But they have Brock Purdy, and this is his second year, so you got 2 more years, possibly 3 of club control. So, you know, your hopes and dreams of Super Bowl might come sooner rather than later. Let's keep it moving. The Detroit Lions get off of losing that one game and beat the Atlanta Falcons 20-6 at home. The Falcons fall to 2-1, while the Lions are the same, 2-1. Sam Laporta, I thought it was a stupid idea to trade TJ Hockenson. I was a huge fan of Hockenson coming out. If you know me, you know I evaluate safeties and tight ends a lot out of college because I think those are two underrated positions that you could, if you get playmakers there, they will set you up. They will set the young team up for success further in the future. But they're underrated. But they ended up picking up another tight end, which I didn't understand why they would do. But it's working out for them. Laporta got his first TD. The Lions had 7 sacks on Desmond Ridder. Jack Campbell gets his first sack. Hutchinson had 2 sacks and a forced fumble. They were doing the thing. They were doing the thing. The Falcons defense was trying to keep them in the game. Offense said, nah, bro. Nah, we out this one. We going to sit this one out. Jesse Bates had that one interception. Now, let's get to the Falcons offense. Bro, Kyle Pitts. Look at me. Look at me. Kyle Pitts. If you're being held against your will, blink twice, bro, because this don't make no sense. Let that man go. You ain't going to use him. The coach, Arthur Smith, is not going to use Kyle Pitts the way he was supposed to be used. The Detroit Lions just showed you how to use a good tight end, and the tight end they had was a rookie. Kyle Pitts was named, he wasn't named the freak. He was the unicorn coming out of college. But here we are, not him not being used coming off. 2 years ago, had a 1,000-yard season. Last year, he was injured. This year, he just not being used. This is ridiculous. Come on now. Let's go to the Buffalo Bills whooping up on the Commanders. It takes them both to 2-2. The Bills lost last game, and then they came back and got off of that losing pine pony and got back on the right bandwagon. And yeah, it was always going to be like this. I mean, the linebacker even retired. Christian Kirksey retires. But Sam Howell, the Bills defense, forces Sam Howell to throw 4 interceptions. And he was also sacked 9 times. The Bills basically put the Commanders in their place. That's all that was. They put the Commanders in their place. That's it. There ain't much to see here. The Bills put the Commanders in their place. While the Commanders look like the snarky underdog, Bills is like, nah, we better than you, and we're going to show it. That's it for that. Keep it moving. The Broncos lose to the Miami Dolphins in epic proportion, in an epic fashion. 2022 every day. Y'all know those Christmas movies where the main character has to live the same day over and over until they learn whatever lesson it is that they're supposed to learn. I'm sure the Broncos wish whomever this person is that ain't learning their lesson would just go ahead and learn it. Because they've been living the same season since 2017, and it's bad. The Denver Broncos, again, they lose to the Miami Dolphins in epic proportions. Miami scores 70 on them. The way Shannon Sharp said it, 50-piece with 20 extra flats. The 50-piece with 20 extra. Remember when Sean Payton said the 2022 Broncos was one of the worst coaching jobs he's ever seen? Life comes at you fast. And then I looked to see how much Sean Payton was making per year. $18 million. Walmart can't be. And this is early projections. Don't get me wrong. I get it. It's early. This is his first season. So I'm not going to sit here and say fire him. But the Waltons can't be happy with what they're getting on the field here with their newest purchase. They can't be happy at all. The Dolphins, they took their foot off the gas when they scored 70 points. And originally my question was, why did they do it? And then Tyreek came on his podcast and said that they told Coach not to kick the field goal or nothing like that. I don't know why they didn't want to break the record or kick the field goal. I don't know why they didn't want to do that, because I know it was personal for them. I get that it was personal for them. It was going to be personal, but they didn't want to give no bulletin board material. This is, you put 70 on them, it's going to be bulletin board material for next time. Anyway, whenever they get good, if they can get good, they're going to try to do the same thing to you, period. You put 70 on them. What's 5 more points? What's 3 more points? What's another touchdown? Come on, bro. Go for the record. Anyway, there's a lot of former Broncos players on this team, on this Dolphins team. Mike McDaniel, that's his childhood team. He didn't even get a – I don't even think he got an interview with them when he was going for head coaching jobs. Fangio was the former head coach. He's currently the Dolphins defensive coordinator. Butch Berry, former offensive line coach. He's currently the offensive line coach for the Dolphins. Wes Welker was a former player, wide receiver. He is now currently the Dolphins wide receiver coach. Ronaldo Hill, former safety. He's currently the Dolphins passing game coordinator / secondary coach. And don't forget Bradley Chubb, who got traded down there, and he's the edge rusher. Yeah, it was personal. Let's keep it moving. The Houston Texans mollywopped the Jaguars. Houston scores 37. The Jaguars score 17. So last season, you know, the Jaguars went on that winning streak. And I thought they had turned the corner. I guess not. That car turned the corner a little bit, but it didn't make the complete turn because it stalled out. Had to. Is this a sophomore slump situation for Doug Peterson's team? Both teams are 1-2 right now. But Jacksonville looks worse to me right now than Houston Texans. They're in the same division, but they look worse than the Houston Texans, and they got the same record. The Jaguars didn't get a touchdown until after halftime. I thought Trevor Lawrence had turned a corner last season after the bye week. Where was Calvin Ridley? I mean, he had such an electric first week, and now he's on the side of a milk carton. Where you at? I thought Dougie P wouldn't show up like this. And at home, to a division opponent. But no disrespect to the Texans. They won this game. But there are so many questions that I have for a team that's supposed to be a contender this year. In fact, there were a lot of bets that they would not only win the division, but possibly be in the AFC Championship game. Don't look like that right now. Again, I go back to my opening statement. We don't know what a lot of teams are, and a lot of teams are still forming their identity. The Jaguars should have an identity, but for some reason, they're still forming theirs. So it just is what it is. They could end up being better, but as of right now, this is an embarrassing defeat, especially in your division, because you got to take care of that division if you want to move forward. Speaking of moving forward, keep it moving. The Chargers beat the Minnesota Vikings 28-24. The Chargers beat the Minnesota Vikings, takes the Chargers to 1-2, takes the Vikings to 0-3. Austin Eckler didn't play. Joey Bosa was questionable. Mike Williams suffered an ACL injury in the game, so he's out for the season. And J.C. Jackson has a warrant for his arrest, so there's a lot going on with the Chargers, but they were able to pull this one out. This was one of those must wins for both teams. If Brandon Staley lost this game, I think he should be hitching a ride back home. He's been on the pine pony since his first season. Kevin O'Connell, what's up with the clock management? Bruh, what's up with the clock management? The Vikings offense is on the Chargers 15. In the red zone, it's 4th and 5. Kirk completes a pass to Hockenson, but no one is moving with any sense of urgency here. They're not moving with any sense of urgency to get set. So they can get as many chances in the end zone as they possibly can. Because it's now goal to go with 33 seconds left on the clock moving forward. They let the clock go all the way down to 12 seconds before they ran another play. It was 33 seconds left. You could at least get one more play. Possibly two if you're good enough. 12 seconds they let it run down to. But then, when they threw it, it goes off the receiver's hands. It gets tipped by the defender and intercepted by a different defender. I don't know what to say about that. I don't know. But the Chargers win 28-24, and they improve to 1-2. Improve is a special word, improve. But it's an improvement nonetheless. Let's move on. The New England Patriots beat the New York Jets 15-10. The Jets are both teams are 1-2. Now, let's talk about this. Oh, the Jets offensive lineman, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, retires. So, anyway, let's keep it moving. The Jets threw every chip that they had in the Aaron Rodgers Bowl. And they're paying the price for that. I don't think they're wrong for doing it, because they're not. I don't think they're wrong for doing it. But this could have went two ways, and it decided to go the second way. I'm not saying this was always going to happen, but there was always a chance of this happening. Zach Wilson, no. He was never going to be the backup. He's not going to be the backup player. And it's bad with the Jets. The Jets defense had big plans. They had big plans this season. And to see their dreams crumble under the offense that is what Zach Wilson brings to the table is too much for them to handle. So they're frustrated. And Robert Saleh's trying to figure it, you know, work his way around the situation. But it don't look good, man. It does not look good for them at all. I'm interested to see how this works out. Yeah. And the Jets play the Chiefs this week. And I'm pretty dang sure of it. We'll probably never get Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes. And even if we do, it'll be far too late. It'll be Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather way down the line and nobody cares about at this point. Aaron Rodgers passes prime or whatever. So it is what it is. So, again, Patriots, Jets, they both are 1-2 for the season. Let's keep it moving. The New Orleans Saints lose to the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay Packers score 18, Saints score 17. So the Saints blew a 17-point lead, 17-0 in the fourth quarter. 17-0 in the fourth quarter. The Packers played a clown show most of this game on Sunday. Jordan Love was throwing into triple coverage. I think he was looking for quadruple coverage, but they wouldn't give it to him. But somewhere in the middle of the third quarter, I guess the Packers realized they could mount a comeback. And then they just went to work. And Love was the exact opposite of the guy he was in the first quarter. Wild, right? But then they won 18 by one. And Derek Carr got injured in the game, so, of course, Jameis Winston was in there, so that had a lot to do with the comeback. But, bro, yeah. Green Bay Packers win 18-17, takes both teams to 2-1. Let's move on to the Tennessee Titans and the Cleveland Browns. The Browns blow the doors off of the Tennessee Titans, 27-3. The Browns are 2-1. The Titans are 1-2. So Cleveland defense walks into Tennessee. Walks the Titans like a dog for a change. Cleveland Browns are the dogs, but Titans got walked. Total domination for the Browns defense. Final score, 27-3. Myles Garrett got 3.5 sacks. And Nick Chubb getting hurt last week, I thought that could send a shock through the Browns system. But Myles Garrett said, don't worry, I got you. And he led the charge on the Titans. So the Titans, they're one of the most up-and-down teams I've ever seen. Like, they could blow the doors off of somebody and then lose in the very next week. In embarrassing fashion. It's very odd how up and down the Titans are. I can't call it. But we're going to keep it moving in the interest of time. The Carolina Panthers lose to the Seattle Seahawks at the Seahawks house. So the Seahawks score 37. The Panthers score 27. Takes the Seahawks to 2-1. Takes the Panthers to 0-3. Bryce Young was out. Andy Dalton was in. And I haven't been a believer in Andy Dalton since he left the Bengals. I just haven't. I think he was signed with the Cowboys for a little bit. I just haven't been a fan of his since he was the Red Rifle in Cincinnati. It was all field goals until like 6 minutes left in the second quarter. Boring, boring game. Then Andy Dalton hits DJ Chark for the first touchdown. Then it goes to a bunch of field goals again. Touchdowns really didn't start happening again until the fourth quarter. But anyway, the Panthers lose by 10. Seahawks win 37-27. I don't have anything specific about that one. It was the Seattle Seahawks. Their pass rush wasn't great during the first part of the season, but Carolina's offensive line just allowed them to just go in on Andy Dalton. So hopefully for the Seahawks, this will be a better showing for the defensive line. And I know Tariq Woolen and I think Devon Witherspoon, I think they had some issues. They've been battling some issues with a little bit of injury. So we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, the Carolina Panthers get murked. I mean, they tried their best, though. But we're going to keep it moving. The Indianapolis Colts beat the Baltimore Ravens. 22-19. It takes both teams to 2-1. It's very interesting, this situation, because I don't know. I guess this seemed like more of a division game than I thought it would seem like. Anthony Richardson was out. Ravens defense had a great amount of sacks. They had a safety. They held the Colts to 5 field goals, which they were 4-5 for. And 4 out of 5 was over 50 yards. They held the Colts to 5 field goals, and 4 out of 5 of those field goals were over 50 yards. Even crazier, Justin Tucker misses it. Misses a field goal. Mr. Automatic misses the game-winning 61-yard field goal. The Ravens offense fumbled a bunch. They send the game to overtime. Colts kicker wins it for them. So the end result is 22-19 Colts. And they both are now 2-1. 2-1. Weird game, I know. But, you know, that's what we're working with. We keep it moving. The Chiefs whoop up on the Bears. Chiefs score 41. The Bears score 10. And the Chiefs whoop up on them in what we're going to call the Taylor Swift Bowl. Real quick, Mahomes passes for over 25,000 career passing yards. Quickest QB to get to that. Rasheed Rice looks like he's good. And he's being trusted more by Mahomes. And the bad news Bears look like more bad news. And they get the beats put on them. I don't know, man. The Bears are bad. They probably should have kept that number one draft pick. But they might get another first round draft. They might get another number one this year. So the Bears are bad. And the Chiefs just kept them bad. And this is the Taylor Swift Bowl because Taylor Swift was there to see her alleged boyfriend, Travis Kelce. I don't know what the situation is. It's been on the news all over the place. Sounds like she'll be at the Jets game against the Chiefs-Jets game. But, you know, it was a good-looking day for the Chiefs, and now hopefully this is a springboard to better things because it's been a little rocky for the first two games. But this third one looked good for the Chiefs. So we'll see what happens. Again, the Chiefs are 2-1. The Bears are 3-0. Let's keep it moving. The Dallas Cowboys lose to the Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals score 28. The Dallas Cowboys score 16. Takes the Cowboys to 2-1, takes the Cardinals to 1-2. Trayvon Diggs, he tears his ACL in practice and it ends his season, which sucks for him because he is dynamic. The Cardinals been playing hard all season, hoping to catch one of those teams slipping. Guess what? They found one Sunday. They found somebody slipping, falling, couldn't get up. Shout out RIP DMX. The Cowboys got outclassed. They got outplayed. They got out-schemed. They got out everything. Cowboys, defense can still be a strength, but not leaning on Stephon Gilmore's old tail. He looks a step slow. And without Trayvon Diggs over there, it makes the dynamic a little bit worse for the wear. Run defense, James Conner averaged 7 yards per carry. I mean, I know they'll get better because they'll figure it out. But the Arizona Cardinals ain't pulling no punches. They're actually trying to win, which I respect. I respect the crap out of that. So shout out to Joshua Dobbs, who just got there. He looked like he firmly had the reins of the Cardinals offense. And that's to be commended because he had just got there. So shout out to the Arizona Cardinals for getting their first win of the season. Let's keep it moving. Sunday Night Football. The Steelers versus the Raiders. So Josh McDaniels is out here in a foot race with every other coach in the AFC not named Andy Reid to see who will get fired. That's what it looks like to me. He looks like he is in a foot race with every coach in the AFC West that isn't named Andy Reid just to see who's going to get fired first. Brandon Staley got a win this week, but he doesn't look good. You know, there's so many 1-2 teams in the – there's 2 1-2 teams in the Chargers and the Raiders in the AFC West, and then there's an 0-3 team. And then, of course, there's a 2-1 team, the Chiefs. But the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Raiders 23-18. Takes the Steelers to 2-1, takes the Raiders to 1-2. Josh McDaniels is out here in a foot race. Hunter Renfro needs to be set free from this organization. This organization has done him no favors with Josh McDaniels there. None. Jimmy G got injured again. Josh McDaniels kicks a field goal on the 8-yard line with a 4th-and-4. At fourth, it was a 4th-and-4 in the fourth quarter with 2:25 left in the fourth. Why didn't he go for it? He thought he was getting the ball back. Your defense ain't done enough to trust them right now. He should have went for it. If they didn't get the fourth, they would have at least had the Steelers offense on the 8-yard line at the very least. But they would have had them on the 8-yard line. It's not like the thing about it is it's not like the Steelers offense is that great. It's not that dynamic. They don't have a great offense. You probably could have got the ball back quickly. But, of course, it's Josh McDaniels. He has to overthink himself, outthink himself, because he got to be the smartest guy in his own head. I'm just telling you how I see it. I'm not hating on the man. It is what it is. He's, you know, it is what it is. To me, it seems like he has to be the smartest guy in the room. And in the room that I'm referring to, it's his own head. Let's keep it moving. The Philadelphia Eagles beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 25-11. I ain't going to lie to you. I was hoping the Eagles score 30-plus on the Bucs. Shoot. The Eagles are 3-0. The Bucs are 2-1. I was hoping the Eagles score 30-plus on the Bucs, make Devin White ask for that trade again. And I just never thought the Eagles were going to drop an L on this team. And so, you know, Eagles know what they're doing. And they made sure that they took care of business. So, we keep it moving. Accidentally button press. But we keep it moving. All right, the Rams lose to the Bengals in Cincinnati. Cincinnati scores 19. The Rams scores 16. So the Rams, let's get some news out of the way real quick for the Rams. The Rams trade Cam Akers to the Vikings. And that's pretty much it. The Bengals defense smoked the Rams. I didn't even know you could eat a Ram, but you can, obviously. But the Bengals defense smoked the Rams. The Bengals offense still isn't what it's supposed to be. It's like a cylinder that's misfiring somewhere in that mechanical process here. You could still drive on it, but not for long. And the ride ain't going to be smooth in the meantime. Not comfortable at all. And this is exactly what I see with the Bengals. This wasn't a comfortable win, but the defense got them to where they need to be. While the offense pulled it out, it just is what it is. But they got to figure if the Cincinnati Bengals want to be the team that they have been in recent memory, they got to figure this out ASAP. So that is it. Thank you all for listening. Again, this is one of the shorter shows. I try to keep them to 45 to an hour. But Thursday Night Football is tonight. And I wanted to get this out. I didn't think I'd have the time, but I wanted to get this out. So I thank you all for listening. Again, check out the podcast page, Chiefs Focus. First and 10 podcast. You're going to find this podcast, the 100-yard dash under that umbrella. Go back and look this over on Facebook. If you're friends with me on there, Chiefs Focus fan page on there. You can also look it up on Twitch. We're on TikTok and all those good things. So thank you all for listening. I don't take it lightly. Appreciate everything. And I got time today, so. Be good. Deuces.